Susan Choi's first novel, The Foreign Student, won the Asian American Literary Award for Fiction. She's just published her second novel, called American Woman, which is loosely based on the Patty Hearst kidnapping case in the 70s. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
So far, this year in books has exhibited a wildly irregular rhythm. Late winter, spring, and summer were sort of sluggish. Then fall arrived, and suddenly one wonderful book after another has been speeding off the assembly line. I feel like Lucy and Ethel in the Chocolate Factory, trying to stuff these bonbons of fiction, biography, and narrative history down my gullet as fast as I can, while still remembering to chew. I've just finished Susan Choi's remarkable novel, American Woman, published last month. It's a story that makes a reader slow down and pay attention, no matter how frenetic the pace of one's routine. American Woman is set in the mid-1970s, and it's inspired, but not constricted by, the Patty Hearst kidnapping case. Choi must have been a toddler when that odd episode occurred, but the real evidence of her imaginative gifts is the fact that this novel focuses not on the Patty Hearst figure, here called Pauline, but on a minor player, a Japanese-American woman named Jenny Shimada, who's by temperament and training an unlikely radical. Jenny has been living underground for a couple of years when Pauline's kidnapping takes place. She's on the lam for setting off a bomb in a San Francisco office building as a protest against the war in Vietnam. In part one of this novel, a fellow radical seeks Jenny's whereabouts and discovers her burrowed into an old dowager's mansion in Rhinecliff, New York. With her small hands that were so dexterous at making bombs, Jenny has been earning a living of sorts, restoring the mansion's elaborate paintwork. Choi's description of Jenny's submerged life in upstate New York is lulling in its precision. We learn about Jenny's careful avoidance of daily routine in the town and about how she listens to the Watergate hearings on a transistor radio as she furiously scrapes old paint off a ceiling. It's almost painful to watch her yanked out of this soft, solitary imprisonment and pulled back into active revolutionary duty. But her hard-won knowledge of how to survive underground is needed by three fugitives, one of them Pauline, who've just escaped a blazing police shootout in California. Jenny and the fugitives retreat to an isolated farmhouse, and in the following sections of the novel, the narrative perspective widens out to include flashbacks to Japanese-American internment camps during World War II, as well as to the emergence of the Second Women's Movement and anticipations of identity politics coming out of the crumbling of the New Left. We also enter the minds of all the characters in hiding, including Pauline, whose kidnapping and subsequent well-publicized embracing of radical violence mystifies the outside world. Here's a fragment of a passage in which the narrator describes Pauline's conversion process and her feelings towards her new comrades in arms. She'd possibly fallen a little in love. Not because they were the comrades she'd sought before knowing quite what she was seeking. Not because they had words for the frightening world, lists of reasons and crucial solutions. Just because she was 19 years old and might have fallen in love with any collection of beings devoted to lofty ideals. Generally speaking, American writers tend to stay away from explicitly political subjects in their literary fiction, maybe because of the daunting challenge of how to make a political novel smart as well as lyrical and moving. Of course, there are exceptions. E.L. Doctorow, Todd Gitlin, and Philip Roth have mined this New Left territory in their fiction. So did Marge Piercy before she surrendered herself to poetry. Susan Choi is a fresh voice among these sonorous scribes of the 60s, but she more than holds her own. When Jenny's flight from the feds inevitably ends in capture, Choi makes readers feel a grief that ripples out from the personal to the political to the universal and timeless. It's not that you're mourning the end of Jenny's misguided violence, but rather the idealism that prompted it. Here's how Choi's narrator puts it better. The loss of Jenny's freedom, of these years of her 20s, ended up being nothing next to the loss of her confidence in the choices she'd made.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed American Woman by Susan Choi. I'm Terry Gross.